Austria. Are you ready?
No! He said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And today's show is a little bit different. Instead of having Joe right next to me, we have Joe via Skype.
Via satellite, goddammit. I'm in the fucking I'm in the Arctic Circle right now. Freezing my sack off on a fucking mission to save the fucking rhinoceros whale.
So we decided to do this and try this out and just basically touch on Raw and AEW and NXT.
We're just sick of looking at each other.
Basically, like that's another reason.
And nom.
Joe is in the middle of eating gummy lifesavers.
Nom.
Should be a interesting show as usual.
I ooze professionalism.
Always.
Nom. These are really good.
So Monday night, Seth Rollins finally officially turns heel. Does the swing?
What if
around.
He didn't though?
What do you mean? What if he didn't?
What if he's really just a face?
With AOP, the way they beat down Kevin Owens, no way. You don't?
Maybe
think
they're just
a heel
face.
Thing?
No, I do. I was just trying to fuck with you.
Okay. So the whole villain swinging around on the chair thing and revealing himself. I thought it was a nice touch.
Did he bring back the evil laugh?
No, not yet anyway.
Well, then he's not a true villain until he gets an evil laugh.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's villain 101. We already know this.
Yes. I mean, I like the spot. I thought it was done pretty well anyway. Obviously, everyone's been predicting it and thinking it's going to happen and finally did.
I mean, isn't it an upgrade from J&J Security, though?
Oh, big-time upgrade. But I think...
Why is that?
Well, just the physical stature
just
alone.
Just size alone?
Yeah. I mean, I think at this
and
point...
And they're trained in MMA?
Rollins is going to be... His thing throughout his career is... When he's a heel, he is going to be the guy who's known for always needing backup and never...
He's got an entourage.
Exactly. What do you mean, Shawn Michaels?
The architect
never
needs an entourage.
Never be Shawn Michaels' friend because he's going to turn on you. You're going to have the architect being he always needs someone to back him up.
Well, Shawn Michaels always needed someone to back him up.
Yeah, but he always turned on his friend. Always.
Well so did Rollins.
Well,
who's the one that broke up the Shield?
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah, I got you on that.
Stop making false fucking... comparisons, goddammit. That's what I'm here via satellite for, to fucking keep you in check.
The other noteworthy thing that happened on Monday Night Raw is Rey Mysterio retaining the U.S. title over AJ Styles.
Dude, he turned 45 the other day. You believe that?
And he looks...
45.
He doesn't look a day over 25 the way he looks in the ring. He's amazing. He never ages.
Dude, if I can move maybe an eighth of that when I'm 45, I'll be happy.
You can barely move an eighth of that now.
Like I said, an eighth of him. So I have to maybe get a little bit better here. Don't fucking... So if I'm a 32 of that, if we're going by proper math.
That's about right.
I'll be a 32
It'll be
of
a
Rey Mysterio by the time.
Not a 32.
I'll be a 32 inch waist. Don't laugh like it's not possible.
Well, and you had the little, cameo by Randy Orton to tease the RKO, but then not do it, and that actually ends up costing Styles the match.
So now he skinned his knee on that spot.
No, I didn't pay attention to that.
He's gonna be out for 4 weeks.
Okay. Kind of odd, but sure. We'll go with that.
No, he really did skin his knee.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think he's going to be out for 4 weeks because of it.
I don't think so either. But, I mean, as far as Raw, that was, I mean, the biggest moments, if you can call them that. But,
Well, I think you missed the biggest moment.
What's that?
Wasn't Lana. Lana's the biggest moment in all of Raw.
I didn't really want to talk about that. I mean, you can go ahead. I'm done.
Fine, you don't
want to
talk about
line.
You don't want to talk about the hottest sensation of all of Raw?
No, not really. No, because I don't believe that's what it is.
Fine, be that way.
Let's move to Wednesday. Let's move to AEW. A show that actually they put on a pretty damn good show. Not that I'm surprised.
Well, here's the thing. They're going to keep the excitement level at about an 8 to 9, but the match format at a bat at a probably about a 3 to 5. Like, they can't put together, like, a great match per se, but it's really exciting to watch, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I agree from watching the whole show Wednesday night, that or last night, considering tonight's Thursday.
I wouldn't say it's botchy, but I'd say
it's
easier, scattered.
Yeah, and you know what? It seems that their matches are easier to pick apart and pick things out that probably you shouldn't be able to pick out.
No, like, their matches are a clusterfuck, but they seem to be exciting somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you start off with Moxley versus Alex Reynolds as a squash match. And you have Jericho come out and offer Moxley a spot in the Inner Circle and put a Inner Circle t-shirt over.
Pretty cool that Reynolds was on the main show.
Yeah, and not only that, Reynolds and Silver, for that matter, got a little vignette in their hotel room to join the Dark Order.
That's a funny word, vignette.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You don't get the word or why it's funny?
No. I mean, there's so many, I guess, so many other things you could describe the video package or video promo with. Vignette is just one of those things kind of weird to me. And it's only thing, I've only ever heard it in wrestling.
Vignette?
Yeah. I've never heard it used anywhere else. Bless you.
Oh, damn it.
You're
not coming.
You're welcome.
Fuck you.
So, you had MJF with a really, really good promo on Cody. Making fun of his lisp, which was hilarious. That made me laugh really hard. But still, he comes on.
Because you hate people with lisps.
No, I just thought
you
it was
sick
funny.
Bastard.
All right, so it's what I think every time I hear Cody talk. It's the first thing I think of is his lisp. Every single time. So when he
said the same thing with his dad.
Yeah, but see, with Dusty, it wasn't the first
he's
thing
he's got a cooler lisp.
Not a cool, is that a thing, a cooler lisp?
I don't know, you're making it sound like it's the better lisp.
No, I think he drew less attention to it. I think Cody, when he speaks, it's just the only thing I hear. It's the first thing I hear, I should say, not the only thing. But.
What? Are you biased on lisps now?
Are we really going to go to this conversation about lisps? We're getting past the point.
I think the point is that you're biased on lisps. You have a favorite lisp. Why don't we talk about that for a second? How you're anti-lispite.
I don't think that's a word either.
I think it is. I think I just made it up. You're welcome. Anyway, go carry on with whatever the hell you were talking about.
MJF's promo.
Oh.
And the build with Cody and MJF. It's one of the better builds that they have, one of the better stories that they have that just keep coming up. But the only thing I don't like about everything going on with Cody and the Butcher and the Blade, and you're kind of weaving in and out of multiple storylines, which typically is not a bad thing, but it seems to be all over the place with so many different spots, a little bit anyway.
Yeah, but I think your main focus is where it should be, which is MJF. But it's nice that you have other people coming at him from all angles. But what I noticed was MJF played to the crowd a lot in that promo.
Yes.
Not in so much of, I wouldn't say so much in a face manner, but he played to the crowd a lot.
He's trying to get reactions out of the crowd as he was doing the promo.
Yeah.
Because he would look towards the crowd as he would say a comment about something the crowd would say. Like about mm-hmm. about his scarf or anything like that.
Yeah, but as he was getting ready, the last part of the promo when he was asking everyone if they want to see him versus Cody, it's mm-hmm. more, that's like a face move.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
He quickly flipped it by saying he's in control and they'll get it whenever.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's the only thing that, with everyone talking about how much they hate Corbin and that MJF is the better heel, no. that's why Corbin is the better heel, because everyone hates Corbin so much and people actually like MJF. And I don't see the thought process in thinking that MJF is the better heel.
Here's the thing. MJF is able to get a cheer out of the crowd. Corbin I bet you if he went single-handedly and handed everyone a $100 bill in a whole arena, he still would get no one to cheer for him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I think that's a pretty goddamn good heel.
Although for the first time I watched, not the first time I watched it, but for the first time after watching
wrestling in itself,
WWE backstage, no. And
you've really been putting on a good front this whole time.
Thank you. Baron Corbin on there as a guest really actually made me like him as a human being as he was speaking and talking about.
Yeah, I don't like those backstage things for that reason. Like the WWE 24s and all those.
Yes.
They always make it like it makes you hesitant to root against someone. Like after the Rollins one. He was still technically a heel at that point, but that put him over so much as like made people like him more. That's what pushed him into the face category.
Yes. Well, and
when he won the title from Roman and then lost it real quick to Ambrose.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and
Money
then,
the Bank.
And
like
that's what it's doing.
Like that's the thing. He could have came back as the heel if they wouldn't have shown that what's the vignette.
Yeah, no, believe me, I thought the same thing as I'm thinking, man, I actually kind of like Corbin as a normal human. I'm going, well, that's really not good.
As not a outer space person, as a normal human.
As out of character, Baron Corbin. I
as
like
some
him.
Wacky TV person.
But yeah, I liked his psychology, and he knows how to do it, and he talked about how people hated his vest, so that's the reason he wore it so long, because just people hated him wearing it. So, like, it made you appreciate him as a character and as a professional wrestler. So I'm like, shit, this kind of dulls down the heel part of it. If I'm thinking this, how many other people watching this are thinking the same thing?
Maybe some people are just smarter than you, and they know how to separate church and state.
Well, yeah, you could do that, of course. But, I mean, I already liked him as King Corbin anyway.
And so I
like heels a lot of the time anyway, and I don't boo them. I just appreciate how good they actually are.
Well, you should boo them so that way we can have our we can make our point.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, any hoosin.
To the continuation of the women's division in AEW being lackluster, I think
it's starting to pick up.
It is starting to pick up. Next week's scheduled match, Britt Baker.
Statlander versus Britt Baker.
There's a match where I can get invested in.
Well, because you're invested in the two that are in the match. You're familiar with them. You're not familiar enough with AEW's women's division yet. And rightfully so. A lot of them are from lesser-known promotions or foreign promotions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the two next week, you're very familiar with because you've seen them numerous times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why you're more invested in it. So the more you watch AEW, the more you're going to be invested in the rest of the division. That's what they're hoping for.
Well, absolutely. And that should be the goal, but I want more women involved even more and
featured longer.
Exactly.
Like two matches instead of half a match.
Yeah. But I know they're handcuffed, obviously putting on a 2-hour show and trying to get as many people as they can in. I understand that.
Well, look at the major storylines. Look who the major players are always the feature talent. We've already went over this.
Yeah.
You have Cody, the Bucks, Hangman, Kenny. You have
Ambrose.
Jericho. Moxley, Jericho. Now you got the Lucha Express, or not Lucha Express, the Jurassic Express.
Yeah.
I mean, they all weigh heavily on that show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are starting to catch on that they're not featuring the women enough, and it's a shame. But then you get AEW Dark, and you usually get a women's match or two on there.
Yeah, yeah. And
so, you know,
go ahead.
If you're going to bitch and complain about it not being on TV, you have to watch AEW, or you have to watch AEW Dark, because then you're just bitching for no reason.
Yes.
You can't just bitch because they're not on TV when they're having them featured on their YouTube channel.
And that's the thing, AEW Dark, for the most part, everyone I've watched, all three matches are really good 95% of the time. There's not really
a
bad match.
It's because you're not really – it's actually better because you're not catering to the TV crowd that needs to be entertained by promos and shit. You're just getting pure wrestling.
Yes.
Which we're a bigger fan of.
Yeah, so –
no bullshit, just wrestling.
Exactly. They wrap it up with the Texas Street Fight.
Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Young Bucks versus Pride and Powerful. And there's been a lot of
people. That
was
the clusterfuck of the match.
Yes, a lot of people ripping this. Especially, now it seems like every week on AEW, there's a spot where social media is, and I should say WWE fans who want to pick on AEW, are ripping apart. And you have the spot where they have the chair in front of his head, and he just sits there and keeps his head there and waits to get kicked in the head with the chair. And a lot of people are jumping all over it.
See, it wasn't questioned when it was just a live show and it wasn't really being aired anywhere.
Yes.
Because it was a cool spot.
Yes.
Now that everyone gets to see it and they have something to compare it to now weekly,
mm-hmm.
that's where we're getting this from. People just can't enjoy the thing for what it is.
Yeah.
Now that other people have to have their two cents. Personally, I thought the match was a clusterfuck. I thought that they go to the well way too many times with these behind the back sneak attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost it's weekly. There's a sneak attack weekly.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It enhances and furthers the storyline, but I mean, creative is something that you could do something different all the time. This isn't creative anymore. It's weekly.
Yeah, and not only that, I thought the table spot where everyone has to go through a table was a little much. It was pushing it a little bit. I just didn't think
it was overkill.
It was
exciting. Like I said, it was exciting, but the match structure and quality was probably at a 3 to 5.
Yeah, and like you said, they did things that they
took. I mean, it was a street fight, though, so let's put it that way. It was a street fight, so you're supposed to be chaotic.
Of course, yeah. But, I mean, booking a match like that, it's controlled chaos. It's supposed to look chaotic, but it's supposed to be for a point anyway, and for a reason.
Yes.
And but, I mean, the spot that I know a lot of people, well, a lot of Eagle fans enjoyed is when the Dallas helmet got ripped off and spit on and thrown on the ground, which
it would have been better if he just like squatted and took a shit on it. I think that would have really rammed the point home.
But I think all in all it was a good show. I mean, and we find out the next pay per view, which you hit on the head. You didn't say the date, but you did say February. So February 29th in, of course, Chicago is going to be AEW Revolution.
They got to find a new fucking city.
There's plenty of them.
Chicago's getting way too much.
It's their bread and butter. They know they're going to sell it out regardless.
Yeah. Stop playing it safe there, Con. You got to take some risks if you want to run with the big dogs. Woof, woof. Bark, bark.
But I they're touting this as one of their biggest pay-per-views ever. So I guess they're planning to book it as such.
So this is going to be their Mania? Does it have a name yet?
Yeah, Revolution.
Oh, it's called Revolution?
Yes.
Too close to Evolution. I don't like it.
Well, it fits with the whole change the world thing and all that, so I get it.
Then they should call it World Changers.
Look, I mean, I'm not the one naming it, so whatever, but either way.
I think this one's weak.
I mean, I can't wait to see if they're gonna what they're going to build with this giant pay-per-view that they're talking about. So we have another
Is this going to be
half.
Their 5 or 6 hour long one?
I would say probably at least 4, right? If it's this big event. Like
I don't know if they have. I don't know if they have the numbers to put on a 6 hour show. I don't think they have the depth.
No. I don't think they do, especially telling a story like they would have to.
I mean, multiple. Not necessarily, because if you got Omega and you put them with the right person, that's 45 minutes right there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, then you got hopefully by that point Cody and. No, not Cody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they've kind of restricted Omega now that I'm thinking about it, because he was used to those fucking half hour to hour long matches.
He's definitely not the same. He doesn't deliver the same matches now that he's in AEW that he did in Japan.
No, I don't. I think you're right. I think he needs his Okada. Maybe not Okada in person, but he needs his Okada.
The Okada type, that some kind of wrestler like needs, that, where he can go with.
He needs, yeah, for that was like that was it. That was the best bout machine. Right now, he's just a guy.
Yeah, I agree.
AEW doesn't have his counterpart, like Will Ospreay. I think I just nailed it on the head right there.
Yeah, but that's where you got to hope this. Rumored partnership.
Or an AJ Styles, something like that.
What would you think about a John Cena?
An AEW?
Yep.
I would like it.
Would you
I don't think it would ever in a million years happen.
I agree. Would you do a Kenny Omega versus John Cena match? Would you think you would have to?
Oh, absolutely. I would do it. Yeah. Definitely.
If it was a one-off, if that was the only match?
If that was the only match that Cena would do,
like if he would only do one match, not Omega being the only match. Like if he had one match, he said one match, you book it.
Yeah, it would have to be Omega.
Yeah,
he's the best they got, and he's. I mean, let's face it, it's not going to be Jericho or Cody or Moxley.
Yeah, because been there, done.
They're all WWE guys.
Yeah,
it would have to be the best they had, which would be Omega.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I mean, dude, the near falls in that match would be fucking insane.
Yeah, they would. Yep.
Cena would be the only one to kick out of the one-winged angel. He'd have to give him 6 one-winged angels to beat Cena.
You're right, he would. But who would go over?
Cena's passed the torch a lot, so I'm thinking Omega.
Okay.
Especially being booked in AEW land.
Yeah.
I mean, if Vince booked it, come on now.
Yeah, we know who would go over, yes. But all right, let's switch over. NXT. The big match on NXT was the triple threat, Balor versus Lee versus Ciampa for the right to
face
Adam Cole next week on NXT.
And I'm just gonna stop you right there because I want to cut in.
Good.
The beauty about the storytelling and the booking of NXT is that normally in every other brand, promotion, whatever it may be, there's always just one chasing the main title, which makes the story more focused and predictable and whatnot. But they've intertwined 3 people now with Adam Cole. And it made it a lot more unpredictable with that match last night. Like I couldn't have a confident pick going into it of who I thought was going to win. I thought Keith Lee was so over that they were going to pull the trigger with him. Ciampa never lost it, so I thought that they were going to go with him. And then Balor came in, hasn't really been beaten or harmed yet, so he had a great chance as well. So I think that the way that they build and they storytell in NXT is unlike anyone else going right now.
Yeah.
Including main roster WWE.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I think, and for all them reasons, I could see any three of them winning, and I wouldn't have been disappointed if Ciampa or Lee won, but I kind of wanted your one prediction, or at least the one
fatal four-way
would be a fatal four-way. That's kind of what I wanted to see happen, just so we could see an amazing, not that we're not going to see an amazing match next week, but an even more amazing match next week. But I mean, look, Balor, Cole, I think it's going to be great. I really hope.
I think so too. Balor's pinning two of the biggest names in NXT right now. Riddle and Keith Lee.
I hope Johnny Gargano comes out, costs Balor the title next week, and we set up Balor and
Gargano. You should intertwine someone else into the story.
Yes. And then that way you can have Cole, Lee, and Ciampa still, but then you still have the offshoot of Gargano and Balor.
Jesus. Just make it a fatal five-way.
Well, I mean, the takeover for Rumble is right around the corner, so...
So what the hell do you do when Velveteen Dream comes back?
That's the thing, is when is he coming back? When is there a date? You know what I mean? What is his timetable?
I don't know. So I'm not sure.
That's up in the air, and then if you have a six-man match, him involve himself, maybe you do a ladder match or something like that. Come take over.
Oh, Jesus. Can you imagine that?
That would be probably one of the greatest ladder matches of all time, period.
Oh, my God. Book that, please. Give that an hour and a half. Just book it. Holy shit. That would be a great match.
So, other than that, on NXT, it was kind of lackluster as far as the entire show goes. I think NXT was the secondary show. Put up against AEW, but I mean, I watched most of AEW and then I switched over at the main event. So, and then watched Triple Threat.
AEW was a B as an all around show and NXT was a C minus with an A main event.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because I watched,
so that averages out as a B as well.
I watched the rest of AEW earlier today, and I watched the main event of I watched the rest of NXT earlier today, and the main event of AEW earlier today as well, just to get both of them in. And I think all in all, AEW better full show, NXT way better main event.
Say it one more time, I zoned out.
Are you watching Beyond?
I am.
Okay, I can see why. Let's do a little TLC predicting or previewing, whatever the hell you want to call
little vignetting.
So we got six matches announced so far.
Announced.
Yeah. Tomorrow night will be SmackDown, so I'm sure we'll get at least a couple more.
Maybe one or two.
So I think out of all of them, two are probably the biggest matches, and that's Wyatt Miz. Wyatt Miz, I love this. I love that the chance of maybe just getting Bray Wyatt and not the Fiend is.
God, that would be like such an uncomfortable outfit to wrestle in.
Yeah, it's intriguing to see.
He'd be just like his dad. He's wrestling in sweater and khakis. His dad used to wrestle in dress pants, a dress shirt, and suspenders.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what that's going to be. But there's no real gimmick for this match. It's just a straight up non-title match. Then you have the Reigns Corbin match, which is a tables, ladders, and chairs match. So I think that.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't make the Miz match. Nothing.
Yeah. But, I mean, we still got tomorrow night, so maybe something could happen tomorrow night. But as of right now, it's a just regular non-title singles match. But then Kabuki Warriors versus Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, that's a tables, ladders, and chairs match. And even though
those are your two main matches.
I'm not a big fan of the build between with that match because I don't like the Charlotte Flair Lynch partnership.
It's running down the predictable tree.
Yeah, but the talent that's
so who
in the
turns
ring,
on who?
Yeah, the talent that's in the ring. It's going to be a great match, but it's just.
Tag titles?
That's a good question. It's the only thing I haven't seen if it's a title match or not. It might be.
If it's a non-title match, that means you just take two titles off of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Yeah. No, actually three, because you have Wyatt Miz non-title.
Correct, yes.
So what's the point? What's the purpose?
Yeah, I mean...
They're just supposed to be matches for... That's not really a pay-per-view caliber match if it's not for anything. No one gives a fuck about bragging rights. It'll be wiped away the next day.
Yes. Yeah, very true. Especially if someone turns on somebody, it really isn't going to matter.
No, it doesn't.
Because it just wipes it away. You got Root, and so, then... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what do we got next? We got anything that's actually mean something?
Rusev versus Lashley in a tables match.
Okay, I said, well, that actually... Let me reiterate this. Do we have anything left that means anything?
The New Day versus the Revival for the titles.
Okay, so this is only the umpteenth time we've fucking seen this match.
And yeah, and then the only other match that I didn't say that's announced is Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy.
Now that might be the match of the night. That'll probably be on the pre-show.
Yeah, actually, yeah, most likely, unfortunately. And that's a match we've been calling for that match for months now. Because
I wonder
both
how they
guys
booked that
aren't
match.
Used.
I want to say they book Aleister winning, but I want them to surprise everyone and have Buddy Murphy win. They're not doing anything with Aleister Black anyway. I mean, he beat Tozawa on Raw, but I mean, honestly, he hasn't really had a strong matchup since going up to the main card.
No, I know, and that's the thing. I thought once we got past Survivor Series that maybe stuff would start to happen and you'd get better bookings for some of these guys. And, God, I hope it's coming, but it doesn't look good right now anyway that something might be coming.
No, because you go into the Rumble after this, and there hasn't really been a build for that at all.
Yes.
We've already said, like, who the hell would you book to win it? Like, who's the strongest booked right now? Owens or... I don't know. It would probably be Owens. Would be the best current roster member that's booked strongly.
And Corbin.
Or Rollins now. Yeah, Rollins, Corbin, KO.
Yeah.
And Roman.
Yep. And he just got food put all over his face and hair.
Yeah, so. But it's Roman Reigns in a Royal Rumble.
That's true. Very true.
He's last four, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as it goes, that's the match card so far. Like I said, we still have SmackDown ahead of us tomorrow night. But
so there's no Bayley?
Not yet, but we could find that out tomorrow night.
Because
probably could be Bayley and
Lacey Evans.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's another possible one, and I don't know what else. Is there anything we're missing for tomorrow night that could be announced that we could see being put on the card?
I have no fucking clue. TLC's not shaping up to be an exciting pay-per-view.
No.
In my view.
No, I agree. And we're going to be at Ring of Honor anyway.
Yes, we'll be at Final Battle Fallout to the slowly evaporating Ring of Honor. Hopefully they'll put on a good show.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. The match card looks pretty good. It's just that they've caught so much shit lately that it's going to be hard to come back from.
Yeah, but you know what? A 2,300 arena, it's not hard to make the 2,300 arena look full. And there's enough diehard fans in this city to make 2,300 and Ring of Honor look very good. And no, it's not like, oh, they're not drawing, so their wrestling sucks. Their wrestling's very good. They have a lot of good people in that company. So it's just people aren't showing up for it. That's the only problem.
No. They don't do any promoting. Their promoting sucks.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what final battle, what the attendance looks like, because the card looks very good as well.
Yeah, last final battle didn't do too well. There were a lot of empty seats.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything, their last, I don't know how many events, hasn't really done well. So we'll see come Sunday, because that's what we will be watching, live anyway. And then we will be talking to everyone on Monday and seeing the fallout of TLC.
TLC, Tender Love and Care.
I don't think that's the pay-per-view name, but you were close.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be tables, ladders, or chairs. I really feel like it's going to be more Tender Love and Care.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right to think
Please
that.
Please tell me, is it going to be a Lana on a pole match?
It is not Lana on a pole match.
I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
Although I like CM Punk's idea on backstage. You put her in a shark tank. Above the
Oh,
ring.
God, they're going to bring back the Shark Tank?
That's CM Punk's idea anyway. Lana didn't think it was very funny, but I thought it was
She'll drop down a high heel, and Rusev will hit Lashley in the face with a high heel to win the match.
Yeah. Pretty much.
She could pull out the old cell phone that Paulie dangerously had.
I don't think we'll be seeing that. Not at all.
I've lost my interest in that match now.
Well, I think that'll about wrap it up. I think we were pretty successful in this show.
Via satellite?
Yeah, via satellite. It worked. Not bad.
Yeah,
at
maybe
all.
I'll just stay here in the frozen tundra and I'll never come back. I'll just stay satellite. Satellite. That's all I got.
Nice.
So, I was trying to go Dave Matthews.
So we hope you enjoyed the show and look forward to talking to you very soon.
Do I do the later?
That's up to you.
I think I just did it.
Okay.
I shot my shot.
Yep. All right.
That bitch slaps. Nom, 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 nom. Later.